Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 and Jared Levine Studios.
This is Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690 with Brent Martineau and Austin Lane.
Hey, we're on the road once again here with Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690. Welcome in on a Thursday edition of the show. And we are live. If you're checking us out at the Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, right behind me, you'll see a beautiful golf course, and that is Eagle Landing Golf Club, maybe the hidden gem of hidden gems here in Northeast Florida. Fantastic shape, good layout. Takes a little bit to drive to if you're in the immediate Jacksonville area, but still not a bad drive out here. And the greens, fantastic. So it's on the Dream 18 golf card, and I used it today. So there you go. We are live here at Eagle Landing Golf Club for a few hours, and we'll lead up right to Action Sports Shacks OT with Casey Kurtz and Brian Middleton, and then to the Jumbo Shrimp on a Thursday night as Max Meyer, I believe, takes the bump for the Jumbo Shrimp. Again, we've been telling you this. If you want to see a future big league or a guy that might make some noise at the big league level, go see Max Meyer. I'm not sure how many opportunities you're going to get, but tonight's one of those opportunities. He is scheduled to pitch for the Jumbo Shrimp. Brent Martineau here, Casey Kurtz there. Schedule comes out tonight, Casey. Are you eagerly anticipating this? Are you just waiting and waiting, or is it the most overplayed story there is in sports today?
Yeah, I'll be playing FIFA. If it pops up on my Twitter feed, then sweet. You know, otherwise I'll be fine.
Is FIFA a thing still? I thought something happened with FIFA.
Well, just going forward, like FIFA and EA are no longer, FIFA's not going to be made by EA. So that's like a next year or whenever it runs up problem. But as of now, FIFA 22 still in the PlayStation 4. So yeah, that's what I'll be doing. And then, if the schedule stuff, it comes in front of me, then great. But yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, well, I will say this. This is how it impacts. I really feel like the broadcast media that covers the NFL, like, talks about it almost more than the fan, because, quite honestly, it shapes our calendar for the, final 5 months of 2022. I mean, we can't do anything. Like, I am waiting to announce our Dream 18 golf tournament until tomorrow, so I know what the Jags are doing early in the season in September and where their schedule is, and just make sure they don't have a Sunday night or a Monday night game, and I'm not going to be here. So I think in part that's what it does. It gives us a little bit something else in the news cycle. Keep in mind, this is something that used to happen before the draft. Now, of course, the NFL and its brilliance has stretched it out into May because they know, well, there's really not that much going on. I do think fans like it too, because now you buy tickets, now you plan trips, now you can do all those things. The NFL is such a part of our culture that, I mean, we change our schedules around it. And not just us in the media, but also the fans that go every day and every week and like to take road trips too. So I do think this is a bit of an eagerly anticipated day, probably a little overhyped, but hey, schedules are schedules. You know, when you went to school and college and your schedule came out, you knew what you were doing then for the next few months.
That is true.
Right? I mean, it's kind of the thing. So I do anticipate a little bit tonight. The thing that we've wrestled with is, does it change how you view the season? And I wonder, Casey, like, we're going to do this experiment today. First time ever we're trying this. Okay. I don't know if it's a thing. We said it. We produced the show on the air like last week. We said we're going to see what we think the Jags record is going to be today. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see if it changes once the schedule comes out tonight. And we'll do that on the show tomorrow.
Fact.
Because what every sports radio station does in America in their home market is predict the schedule after, or predict the wins, losses after the schedule comes out.
Yeah.
And my curiosity is, like, does it matter? You already know who they're playing. But we'll see if the calendar kind of plays with our psyche a little bit on how we view how the schedule could unfold for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we will do that, and that'll be an interesting exercise. I mean, there's not much that'll probably change my mind, at least, although I think you quote retweeted something that obviously was not official, but if that does come true, I believe they wouldn't have a bye after London. So, like, that would be, like, one of the very few things that could change my, I guess, mind on winning and losing games that they maybe should or shouldn't.
Yeah, and see, this is why I think the NFL, and I say this, I think it's one of the foolish exercises we do, but it's fun, and we do it, and then we like to say if we're right or wrong, and usually sunshine and rainbows over here is wrong when it comes to the Jags, but I think it's one of the foolish exercises, you know, in this sport in particular, because every year half the teams don't make the playoffs that made it the year prior. I mean, just about every year that happens, and the league is so filled with parity that you find the Cincinnati Bengals coming out of nowhere and the Seattle Seahawks not really being a factor at all last year. Like, that's what happens in the league. And so to sit here and say, hey, the strength of schedule of the Jaguars is not very high. How do you know? Like, you just don't know. You have no idea. By the time you get to November, Washington might be 9-4, you know, mm-hmm. and it might be a much harder game. And Carson Wentz is playing well than maybe you anticipated it being. So, well, maybe not.
Maybe Sam maybe. Howell's in there with his stakeless.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there we go. So, in with the schedule, we'll talk about. Well, we will do it because I want. I'm interested in doing this and see if my own thoughts on the schedule and the Jags' success or lack thereof this year does change at all. Rookie minicamp does start tomorrow. This is not big news ahead of rookie minicamp. But I am a little surprised how quick these deals are getting done around the NFL. And that includes the number one overall pick, Trayvon Walker. $37 million contract. It's slotted. There's really not a lot to it. Jags get it out of the way. They get it done. They sign it. Bing, bang, boom. It's over. He'll be in camp this weekend for the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's really not a lot of mystery in that. Again, you go back 10 years. I think it was previous to the last CBA. So that would have been right around 2011 and previously. Like, when I was in this market, would go to the airport. When a guy like Tyson Alualu signed his deal and we'd meet him there because he was, like, late to camp by a few days because they were working on the contract and it was a little bit of a holdout and it was a big story. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just not a story anymore. Very few. There are a couple, like, what, Joey Bosa and Zach Wilson last year.
Yeah.
I mean, but, again, it's like you know it's going to get done. Like, these aren't major deals. So, like, I don't even think about it anymore. It's not even a headline. It's just not a thing. That these guys sign their rookie contracts because you know what's going to happen. So I don't know if I miss the mystery of that or it kind of makes it easier. It's like, okay, that we can forget about that, not have to chase it much. But the slotted nature of the NFL has solved a lot of the mystery when it comes to rookies signing their picks. So, hey, Trayvon Walker will be here this weekend. That's awesome. The Jags get rookie minicamp going this weekend. That's awesome. I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot this weekend, but hopefully they start to get acclimated by the, you know, to everything that Doug Peterson's trying to accomplish. And he did say to us earlier this week when he dropped the puck at the Iceman game that they will do some installation stuff with this rookie class this weekend. So they will start to already get them accustomed to that playbook and start, you know, putting people out in the field in the positions that they want to see them in. How much we'll see of that, they're not going to do a lot. And I call this the Dante Fowler rule. Dante Fowler comes in. He gets hurt on the first day of rookie minicamp, tears his ACL. He's done for the year. Nobody wants that stuff to happen.
Yeah.
That was a probably one-off type of thing, and it's happened to others as well. But I'm just saying, like in Jacksonville, like it's just not an everyday occurrence. But the point being around camp, around – these kind of things around OTAs, the idea for everybody in the NFL now is just to get to the regular season healthy. It trumps extra practice. It trumps harder practice. It trumps knowing the system better. It trumps everything. Availability is king in the NFL. And the last thing, and I agree with this one especially, I think rookie minicamp actually should be a classroom thing and not even on the field, quite frankly, because I think the last thing these guys that have gone through this process and are fatigued already by the process and probably haven't worked out to the degree that they should since the combine, maybe they have, maybe they haven't. Devin Lloyd sure looked like he had. But I think it's a very dangerous thing to play with, putting these guys out in any kind of full-speed capacity or even 75% capacity. I just don't think they're ready coming off the grind of the college year, the draft process, everything else. And I would play it super cautious if I'm Doug Peterson. I think the league does that now. I think Doug Peterson told us that he hinted that, hey, we just got to get out of here. Nobody get hurt. That's the main objective, really. And hopefully it'll be a lot of classroom work for the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend. But I'm not really sure we're going to learn too much. It'll be nice to see them out on the field, Casey. But I would think that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key, right? You can't get hurt in the classroom, hopefully, barring something truly incredible. But, yeah, I mean, you know, what can you really do in 2 days? You know, I understand they want to do some installation stuff. Cool, I'm with it. But to your point, like, let's just stay healthy. It's really not worth it. And, I mean, obviously it didn't happen in rookie minicamp, but you had Etienne who got hurt last year in a off-season situation. So you definitely don't want that to happen again. So, yeah, just take it easy, read the book, learn the playbook, and figure it out from there. By the way, Brent, to keep you updated, I know you're on the edge of your seat. Harry Kane just scored a penalty, so it's 1-0 in the soccer match I'm watching.
Who's that? Who's playing? I've heard of him before.
Yeah, you should have. Tottenham and Arsenal.
I just can't get over how much you watch this. Is this a CBS 47 Thursday event?
This is a USA.
Okay.
No, this isn't Champions League. That's right. A CBS event. But
is that over? Is that Wednesdays or what?
No. So there's only one game left, and it's the championship game, and it's like at the end of May, I think.
I got you.
Keep you updated. I don't know.
I'm sure everybody was super pumped to be updated about that.
Hey, man.
Harry Kane, everybody.
I know there's one specific Jags fan that likes Tottenham, so if he's listening, I'm just giving him an update.
That is one thing. Like, soccer fans have already been, like Jags fans and Shad Khanbhai and the Jags, I don't know how many Fulham fans there are because of that. Because I think people already had their teams.
Correct, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of crossover there is my point.
No, but
I would root for Fulham, and I'm interested in Fulham just because that's what I know. But I never, like, I don't care about any other soccer team.
That's fair. I think, though, like I like Chelsea, right? But in fairness, and if you like Tottenham or Arsenal or anybody like that, I think you can somewhat like Fulham in the way of Fulham is never going to challenge your team if you like one of the top tier teams, right? So, like, you're not going to die hard with Fulham, but, like, if they're playing, like, oh, okay, you know, I can get with it. But because I don't think, like, as a Chelsea fan, I'm never going to, like, worry about them overtaking Chelsea in, like, the Premier League standings. Does that make sense?
All right. Yeah, you've got us on to soccer. Get us off quickly, please. Brent Martin, Casey Kurtz, live at Eagle Landing Golf Club out here in the, I would say, Oak Leaf area is probably Oak Leaf Plantation. If you're familiar with that, Dream 18 card discount, by the way, here at Eagle Landing Golf Club, Action Sports Shack, Dream18.com. You know what's fun about the golf world? We just did it again. I came out here because I knew I was doing the show, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to play at 10:20, and so I did. Mm-hmm. There weren't many tee times left. There's not many tee times left at any golf course. So I joined with a couple of guys that I had never met, and they were very cool. It was a good round of golf with them.
Signed any autographs?
No autographs, not yet, unless they come back. Claude and Derwin, those guys are retired Navy.
Okay.
Retired Navy Chiefs, I think.
Thank you for
your
service.
Like a big deal. Yes. I was asking them a little bit about the military and their service and everything else, but I just love that part of the game. You know, you go meet some people and conversation, and I would say 9 out of 10 times you find people, like, you learn something. Or you have a good time. Like, I can't really remember a time that I'm like, golly, I can't believe I got paired with this guy or gal or whatever. Like, has that happened to you?
No. Not. I've never been miserable, no.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's I think it's pretty fun. That's a fun part about the game of golf, in my opinion. And we had a good day out here at Eagle Land. Greens are rolling, man.
Did you play
Greens
well?
Are rolling good. I played well. You didn't see my tweet?
No, I didn't. Let me see.
I shot a 35 on the front.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the second time I've ever been under par.
Did you cheat? Oh, here it is.
No, second time I've ever been under par on 9 holes, I believe.
Wow.
You were just talking about this yesterday, memorable rounds of golf.
What tees did you play from?
We played the blue tees.
Okay, all right.
And played well, man. I just rolled it in. I mean, the greens were really good, and I have not been putting well, but I rolled it pretty well. So I knew I was about to go shoot like a 50 on the back. I doubled 10.
That's tough.
Bogeyed 11.
Mm.
Birdie 12, though.
Okay.
So that's my third birdie of the day. That's a lot for Brent.
Yeah, okay.
Then I go like par, I think. And then 15 to 18 is tough. Uh-oh. And we're into the wind. And I hit a poor iron shot into a bunker. And I had to carry another bunker. And instead it got plugged in the lip. Mm. And so I made double there.
Yeah.
And then you got a 220-yard par 3 into the wind. I tried to cut down a driver. That's how long I thought it was.
Jeez.
I was playing like 245, I thought. Didn't go so well. Should have probably made a 6, hit a good chip, and made 5. So there's another double.
Okay.
So that's 3 doubles on the back.
Yeah.
And then I parred 17 and then bogeyed 18. So 35-43. That's where we're at.
I see why you didn't post the second part of the scorecard.
I just haven't got to it. Nobody was really interested. So until you just asked.
Ty was
interested. Ty is like, so? I was like, well, if I went under par both rounds or both nines, I probably would have bragged about it.
Just to confirm, texting Ty at school, correct?
I think he got out early today. I thought he might even join me on the backside here. The kids are like getting out of school early and going in late. I mean, it's like,
well, I was just about like to say, is it
sophomoreitis or something?
I was just going to say, is it senior privileges? But your kids aren't that old, so no.
No, I don't know what's going on. Steph does that.
Okay, cool.
She's in charge of that.
Awesome, very good.
We're in charge of trying to get Kaylee a W tonight.
Good luck.
And I really have no control over that.
None at all, actually. But yeah, good luck.
But I'm going to feel like I do. We got to get her mentally right. So good night of high school sports last night. Again, by the way, if you missed it on Action Sports Shacks on CBS 47 and Fox 30, we had like 6 games plus UNF softball. UNF softball won again today. And how about the game last night? Bishop Kenny has played some of the greatest games like in high school history in their athletic department. And I only know 2 of them. But way back in the day, Johnny Wolford was playing for them. They played Clay in a playoff game. And see, the folks at Bishop Kenny don't love me bringing this up because they lost. Mm-hmm. But it was an epic game. It was 74-73. Clay won. 74-73 in a playoff game.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Johnny Wolford, I think, had 10 touchdowns that day.
Holy cow.
10.
Well, that makes sense. You know, 70. So, yeah, okay.
And, well, last night, the softball team goes out to the Panhandle, and they go to the 17th inning scoreless with West Florida High. 17th inning, scoreless.
Okay. At any point in time, do they start with a runner on second?
I don't think they do it. No, they don't do that. They do it like in travel ball and stuff. But, yeah, but you can't do that in the playoff game, Texas tiebreaker.
The 17th inning, you can.
And so, anyway, Bishop Kenny scores 3 in the top half. You're like, well, all right, they're going to pull it out. West Florida scored 4 times to walk them off and win it in the bottom half of the inning. Can you believe that? You played 16 innings of scoreless softball, and then there were 7 runs in the 17th inning. Sports crazy, man.
That's unfortunate, but that's crazy. What a game.
You know, yeah, what I say, like, we have some folks that we know play for Bishop Kenny, and I said, man, that sucks that you lost. Like, it's a real bummer. You hate losing. You probably had 55 opportunities to win. You know, it's one of those games. Like, you know how those games go. But, I mean, it is all about, like, memories and stories, and they took a 5-hour bus ride to the Panhandle. They play an epic game. They even come out on the losing end. They probably got ice cream and a late dinner and got back at like 5 in the morning. I mean, they'll forget that they lost the game down the road. You know, it'll be all about the experience.
They had to bus 5 hours?
Yeah.
And then played 17 innings?
Well, they actually bused the day before.
Still?
Yeah, so they were bused the day before. I'm assuming they came back last night. I don't know how that goes, but
those poor kids.
Yeah. Poor kids. Come on, man. It's fun. Poor kids. You know, like, Kaylee wants to win so bad tonight because she wants a bus ride. Like, she wants to go play, like, a Popka or somebody else so they take, like, a charter bus in the postseason.
Kaylee's built different, man.
But I think, like, they like that. They enjoy the time on the bus. It's a different experience. Like, I think, like, what you're saying is, like, poor kids. Like, I don't think they're saying poor kids. I think they're like, that was awesome. That was kind of a cool experience. I wish we won, though.
I hope they are saying, yeah, I hope that they're all saying that. But I'm just thinking, if it were me and we bust 5 hours and then lost in the 17th inning, I'd be miserable. I'd jump out the bus. It would be miserable.
Hopefully that didn't happen. I do think, I think there is a little bit of a difference, like, in the boys and girls and baseball and softball. Like, the baseball kids might look forward to the bus ride. I feel like the girls look forward to the bus ride more. Like, they're having more fun on the bus, probably, is my guess. Like, I have no idea. But, like, I don't hear Ty say, man, I hope we get a bus ride to, like, the Panhandle. Yeah. I hear Kaylee's like, I really want to get a bus ride. Like, she was bummed they were playing Oakley because it's, like, just down the road. So she wanted to go play, like, 3 hours away.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird. But
whatever makes them happy, you know?
Whatever. Hey.
I'm not judging.
I told Steph, I was like, Steph, you should make signs tonight at the game. And like, all the parents should hold them up, just play for the bus ride.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they'll be sharing bus ride in the last inning for Kaylee to close it out.
I mean, I didn't know it was that important to them, but... anyway, congrats to Bishop Kenny softball for an epic game. It's unfortunate they lost. I heard, by the way, I haven't seen a box score from that game, but I heard the opposing pitcher struck out 38.
She pitched the whole time?
No, I don't even think. I think Bishop Kenny's pitcher did.
Oh my!
Which means she probably threw north of 250 pitches in the game.
Yeah.
Maybe over 300. But I think I heard correctly, 38 strikeouts, and the girl actually didn't even finish the game. Like, somebody else came in. 38 strikeouts in a game. It's like, hey, what's your career high in strikeouts
30.
In a game? 38? No, for a game. Yeah, 38.
I got so much respect for both teams. You have no idea.
I say it all the time, man. I learned more this year, even though Kaylee's been pitching. Well, I have so much respect for those pitchers. Like, I'm not sure I could have been the dad with my kid pitching in a scoreless game through 16 innings.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have needed, like, a rescue getting out of there.
It's probably true.
We'll take a break. We're at Eagle Landing Golf Club. More baseball playoffs, by the way, Friday and Saturday. Congrats to all the teams moving on. And congrats to the other teams, too. It's so tight around here. Some of these games are so close. And just got to get a break here or there and play well this time of year. So good luck to everybody playing. We'll talk more football when we come back. Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690 here on a Thursday edition, live from Eagle Landing Golf Club.
Tyreek caught that ball like a punt, right? He was standing still. I saw it. It was a wobbly pass. But it's not that big of a deal. It's a big deal for the Dolphins social team not understanding that that wasn't a good throw. They even put the rocket emoji on the throw to make it seem like it was better than it was. But
well,
it ultimately...
they told on themselves. Key, they put the rocket emoji on the...
They put the rocket emoji on there. So I'm like, the social team clearly doesn't understand that wasn't a good throw.
I don't know. Who was that? Was that Kellerman and somebody else? But that was the whole Tua where I said, was that a punt?
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, it was so bad. I mean, you've got to be so careful this day and age, I think, of sharing that. That's probably some 21-year-old kid. Just got the intern,
don't count
maybe.
On it. Don't count on it.
Social media, first day on the job.
You know? Oh, you can count on that. Did you see, though, that the Dolphins posted a social media coordinator job today?
Did they really?
Yeah, like, I think, I'm assuming the dude didn't get fired, but.
No, he couldn't get fired.
Maybe it was just poor timing because I saw it floating around Twitter, and I was like, wait a minute. And then, yeah, they posted a job today for social media.
Well,
so
let's just say this. I hope he didn't get fired for that. That would be ridiculous. Maybe he quit.
well, that is
but
true.
But I hope not.
Yeah.
Brett Morneau live at Eagle Landing Golf Club, Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690. And Casey Kurtz back in the Action Sports Shacks studios.
Harry Kane scored again.
Wow.
It's 2-0.
2-0. There you go. I'm excited. Harry Kane.
You sound it.
Can we stop with the Harry Kane updates?
Really, I don't even like Harry Kane, to be honest, but I can tell it's throwing you off, so now I kind of enjoy it.
Like, how big is Harry Kane? Like, give
Massive.
Me a quarterback in the NFL relative to Harry Kane. He's not Mahomes, so don't say Mahomes.
I wasn't going to. Who's a bit overrated, but's pretty good?
Bit overrated, pretty good. Kyler Murray.
I give you that. We'll go with that. We'll go with Kyler Murray. Yeah, you know, he's good. I mean, he's very good, but, you know.
It's a good question, actually, right there.
Yeah, he's a bit overbilled for what he actually is, but, you know, he's pretty good. He's solid.
Solid, that's the Gus line of, he's solid, that usually means bad.
Well, okay, well, not in this con. He scored 2 goals today. Like, he's good, but, like, he's not, you know, he's not great.
I don't. Who else in the league is like that in the NFL?
Like, overrated, but just a little bit?
Yeah, like, but pretty good, right? Good. I mean, listen, Kyler Murray's a good player. Would you take him on your team? Yes. Is he overrated? I think so.
Yeah.
But who else like fits that category? I mean, listen, I'm going to take the young guys out of it. I mean, is the generational stuff a bit overrated on Trevor Lawrence? Well, after last year, probably. But I'm talking about guys that have been in the league now. How about like Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I think that's an easy thing to make right now for sure. But like, is anybody thinking highly of Tannehill right now? After the playoff game? I hear what you're saying.
They have, right? I mean, like, Tannehill, heck, they invested in him, and now all of a sudden they've invested behind him.
Well, that's
so
true.
How about Kirk Cousins? Yeah, but see, here's the deal. I don't feel like Kirk Cousins is overrated. He actually might be underrated.
You brought up his name. You, like, brought up his name, and then you're like, wait, no, never mind.
Well, I know. I was just kind of bouncing around to see kind of, like, quarterbacks that are a little polarizing. But
I got
like,
one
Kirk
you're going to agree with.
Cousins' numbers are ridiculous.
They are.
I mean, just the reason Kirk Cousins – I think people don't like Cousins. Something rubs people the wrong way on Cousins, number one. And number two, he just hasn't won big enough to put himself in a stratosphere that we should talk about him the way, like, his numbers warrant. I mean, his numbers are ridiculously good, like, year in, year out. He's a good quarterback. But I actually don't think people, like, say he's that good. I think he might actually be underrated in terms of the pantheon of quarterbacks in the NFL.
I can get on board with that. The numbers are surprisingly okay for the hate he gets. I'm sure you'll jump right on this one, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't have a problem. Matt Ryan's been terrific. Matt Ryan's been very good. You could probably say throughout his career, like, he's a Hall of Famer, numbers-wise. And I think Matthew Stafford might have been in this category up until last year, by the way.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
It would have been right here. Like, Matthew Ryan is now Matthew Stafford, where Matt Ryan is getting... It just puts up these ridiculous numbers as his stats compile in his career. But what has he done in reality? Like, how good is he? Has he got him to the Super Bowl? They should have won that Super Bowl. That would have changed the game, right? That would have put him in the Stafford category now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Matthew Ryan hater or a Matt Ryan hater. I'm more like, I feel like he's getting old quick. Like, I feel like he had his prime already. And even though his age would indicate that, hey, quarterbacks like Brady and Rodgers and even others play still pretty good at this time of their career, like, I don't feel that from Matt Ryan. And in part is because he can't move.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, I say this about Brady. Like, Brady can't move either, but he's so damn good mentally and everything else, and the game's so slow for him that it doesn't matter. I don't see that with Matt Ryan. Like, Matt Ryan's not that much, like, just crazy good slowing the game down. To the point where he can get away with being a statue. It bothers me how slow he is, how he can't move at all, and I think that hurts him. And I think it will continue to hurt him, quite frankly. He's in a good position in Indianapolis, but, yeah, I'm not a hater of Matt Ryan, for the record. I'm just
like
not
it.
Like an all-buy-in just because he went to Indianapolis. He doesn't scare me. Carson Wentz didn't scare me.
Shouldn't.
Quite frankly, Phillip Rivers at his stage of his career didn't scare me. In fact, Matt Ryan is very Phillip Rivers-esque at that age, where... Again, he can't move, and he's not going to overpower you, and he's not going to, like, single-handedly win you football games. I just don't see it. Where quarterbacks around the NFL can do that now.
You're coming for everybody right now.
Yeah. Matt Ryan, by the way, used to be able to do that for a stretch.
Yeah, that's...
Of course, he was loaded with talent, too, when he was doing that, but...
That's fair. I got another good one for you, but I'm so happy that it came from Twitch. In the comments,
hey,
because
Twitch.
There's always
Hello.
So it always says there's one person watching Twitch, right? And I've had Amanda, yeah, just one, but always there. And Amanda's like, it's not a real person, it's a bot, because she tries to watch on Twitch and it doesn't work. And I told her this whole time, I'm like, there's somebody real on Twitch. So shout out to you on Twitch, and it's a great.
You don't even know their name.
Hold on, you know it cuts off. Say you're three.
All right.
Or more. There could be more to there. So
maybe there's few people watching.
Yeah.
Three or something.
Anyway, perfect comparison for this, Dak Prescott. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. That's perfect. That's exact. Harry Kane is Dak Prescott.
Okay.
He's good. Like, Dak is good. Is he worth the money? You know, maybe. He's good. You don't want to get rid of him. We take him on our team, right? Little overrated because he plays for the Cowboys. And it's perfect. That's so well done.
Yeah, that's good. By the way, I think there are a lot of guys that fit this because depending on how you want to look at it, we are going to go from a time where we probably didn't give enough credit to Derek Carr, and you watch how this shifts going into the latter part of this year if they're not like one of the top three teams in the AFC, and especially a top team in the AFC West, and that's a tough division to do that. it is going to shift to this conversation of he's overrated. Like, or he's not doing enough. Or he's good, but he's not good enough. Because I think what happens with Dak, I think what happens even with Cousins, I think what's happened now with Derek Carr, we'll see if it happens, is the dollars catch up to him. And so when you're making $40 million a year, are you playing like a $40 million quarterback?
Yeah.
Because to me, your $40 million quarterback should really stand out. And I understand that's the nature of the game right now, and the numbers are inflated, and heck, Tom Brady's going to get $37.5 million just to call a game. So I'm not knocking them for making the money. But if you're going to play, like in the NBA, if you're going to play and be the max contract guy, you better be a stud.
Right.
Because your expectations just went up. If you're Manny Machado and Bryce Harper and Mike Trout and those guys, and you're signing those kind of deals, well, this is what hurt Harper at first, like when he signed that deal. Until now, in the last couple of years, he's taken off, right? And he's performing to that level. Trout has always done it. Guys like Machado quietly does it, I think. But like Kershaw, when you sign those kind of deals, you separate yourself. And I think the problem right now in the NFL, it's like the going rate for a quarterback that's been pretty decent to good is $40 million plus. I'm not sure all these guys can live up to that $40 million salary that they're now grouped in. I just think the teams have been forced to pay that much because they think they have their quarterback.
You do what you got to do. I mean,
well, you have to pay it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the going rate, but still, like, I think even if it's the going rate, like, you're opening up to criticism. Like, if you're going to make that money, you got to be that guy. I understand it's a going rate, but draft a guy, you know? It's such a weird thing that the only option is $40 million or rookie deal. Like, there's no in-between, hardly at all. Like, there's Jameis Winston, and then there's no in-between besides Jameis.
That's a great call, man. Go, do me a favor while you can. See if you can get a quarterback pay scale. Because I think what's happening, see, you take a Patrick Mahomes, right, you sign him to a 10-year deal. Well, that's the barometer. Patrick Mahomes, the way he's played football, the projection of what he is and will be and continue to be, is worth the biggest contract at the time or whatever it was, $500 million. I see it. What they're saying about Derek Carr, which is why I like this deal for both player and for team, it's like, you know what? You're starting to show like you're one of the upper echelon quarterbacks in the NFL. We really don't believe it, though. And so we're going to give you a 3-year deal, not a 10-year deal.
Right.
So that's what the money says. I think the most fascinating guy to look at right now is, and really a couple of them, the Kyler Murrays. How much was Arizona really want to pay him? How much has he done? How much will he have earned? Well, maybe it's not the $40 million or $45 million. It's instead, we're signing him to a 7-year deal. No, a 4-year deal. Let's go 3 years and see this thing so we don't get buried in case we're wrong. I don't know where that leaves a guy like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, I really feel like the Ravens are all in, and they're going to be all in. And I got a feeling his deal is going to be not 10 years, but probably more like a 6-year deal. And that means they're riding or dying with Lamar Jackson to get them to the promised land. By the way, Lamar has been terrific. He's done a lot of good things. But I still think there's this polarizing opinion outside of the Baltimore headquarters, at least, that says, okay, he's going to be Patrick Mahomes good for the next decade. And I just think the years now indicate more how much a team likes or thinks of their quarterback, maybe than the actual dollar amount, because you just got to pay X amount of dollars to be in the ballgame.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, the Lamar Jackson part of that's interesting. But I pulled this up, by the way, the salaries. So it's
what you got? Sorry.
Yeah, it's literally, so you have guys on the rookie deal, Herbert, Lance, Wilson, Tua, Trevor, Danny, Murray, and then you go into the Baker, Darnold, who got the options picked up at 18, Carr at 19, Dak at 19. This is just for this year. Lamar at 23, Russ at 24, 26. But you literally jump from 9 to like 16 and up with like no cap. Actually, you really go from 18, because those are still first contract guys, Baker and Darnold. You go from 18 to like 20, and then you go from 20 to like 35 quickly.
Interesting. So, and that makes it fascinating when we're talking of, like, Tannehill got a lot of money, you know.
Tannehill's the most highest cap number quarterback this year.
this year. See, they're paying their dues on that contract this year.
Yeah.
It's what happens when you front load and maybe they rework all this stuff. But I guess what? He ain't reworking, not after they just signed Malik Willis.
Yeah.
But I think that's what makes the Baker Mayfield situation very interesting. Because who wants to invest, one, like $18 million for a QB just isn't much anymore. That's, I always say that about the Blake Bortles deal. Like, they're not, it sounds like an enormous amount of money, but given the rate of where you were paying a guy coming off an AFC championship game, it wasn't a lot. Like, their deal was not that bad for Blake. Always will say it. If Blake had played well for one more year, the Jags are fine on that deal. He didn't. Played well for, like, one more month, and then it all unraveled. But that's like the Baker Mayfield one. I'm not sure people mind giving Baker Mayfield $18, $20 million. I don't think they want to give him it for 3 years, 5 years. They certainly don't want to do that right now, and I'm sure his side would like that at some point. Of course, that's what he wanted to get out of Cleveland in the first place. But I also don't see him going to, like, Geno Smith one-year backup $7 million contract status.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how the heck is Baker Mayfield not on a team, not making any money, when Geno Smith is a backup for $7 million?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it has nothing to do with actually what you're going to get on the field. It might be that Geno Smith has seen a lot of football, been in a lot of systems, and he might be able to help Drew Locke more than somebody like Baker Mayfield would be my argument there. I'm not saying it makes sense, but that's the only logical thing I can think of, because if you bring in a Baker Mayfield with a Drew Locke, like, who's mentoring who? There's no mentoring, and you could see Baker going out, like, kind of rogue, if you will. So I think that's why Geno Smith has a job and Baker, for lack of a better term, does not.
I don't think you're wrong, by the way. I think there's an element of that. I almost want to do this story. I think I might have to do the story soon, because I just want to know. If I don't do a story on TV or wherever, I'll just ask around and poke around and find out. But, like, what are the traits you're looking for in a backup quarterback? Because backup quarterback used to be like this veteran minimum, or you sign like a young player like a Jake Luton and you put him there, whatever it might be. Now we're backup quarterbacking. And by the way, Doug Peterson and the Eagles are the ones that changed this game.
True.
We're backup quarterbacking at $7 million a year, $5 million a year. C.J. Beathard, 2 years, $5 million. Like, that's a low-end one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy the amount of money spent on the backup quarterback, which, hey, by the way, those guys should probably thank Mahomes and Brady and everybody else for inflating the starting quarterback salary.
Yeah.
To get him to this point. But I think you're probably right. I think the Baker Mayfield as a backup, how will that be? Didn't people wonder that about Jameis Winston? How would he be if we bring him in as, like, the backup quarterback? Didn't they wonder that about Cam Newton?
Yes.
How will he be if he's the backup quarterback? The crazy thing about, and I always say this, I always come back to Blake, is, like, Blake's got experience, resume, and he's not going to be a problem. Like, he'll be a good teammate, be a good guy in the room, I think. So that's where I'm a little confused that, okay, what makes the backup quarterback? Blake Bortles probably signed a two-year, $2.5 million deal tomorrow with somebody.
You would think. I mean, I'm looking at some of these names for backups. It's, you know, Blake could get a job, I would think.
I would think, but there's something about Blake they don't like as a backup. Is it the fundamentals? Does he not have a strong enough knowledge of the game to tutor, mentor, whatever? Like, I don't know. Like, those are things we don't know. But I ask myself those questions every time we bring up this topic. That was an interesting conversation about quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't even know how we got on here.
It started with Harry Kane.
Oh, Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Thanks, Harry Kane.
Yeah.
See that? Your soccer is good for something.
I'm just trying to help, you know.
Thanks, man. We'll be back. Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690, live from Eagle Landing Golf Club here on a Thursday.
Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690. Brent Martineau, Casey Kurtz with you as well. I feel like it's been a productive first hour, Brent. We've learned some things. We found out the person on Twitch is indeed real. And by the way, they listen all the time, so shout out to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's cool. But anyway, that's something
we grow Twitch.
We really do. So
we haven't put a lot of effort into it. We need to.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually was at a stoplight on the way home last night because Twitch sent me an email because I'm, like, their registered account, and they were like, hey, you're so close to, like, affiliate status. I was like, oh, what is that?
Really?
So then, yeah, because we have a ton of stream time, you know, 4 hours a day, and then we have followers, and there's somebody watching. So, like, we got to work on Twitch. I don't know if I need to play people in FIFA or what. But anyway, nonetheless, anywhere you're listening, by the way, is cool. We appreciate you, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or in your car, ESPN 690 on the radio. But I've seen this from a couple different people on the stream today, Brent. something or nothing that the Jags have signed Jimmy Smith's son, Trey Smith.
Yeah, I think it's something, ironically, I just saw that on social media. I think I'd seen somebody else say it maybe earlier in the day. But I think that's really cool. Like, I don't know if it's like a big something, but I think it's cool. Opportunity is what people are asked for in the NFL. Let me ask this question. A lot of people, when Tim Tebow got opportunity under Urban Meyer, they said that was favoritism, blah, blah, blah. Does something like this fall in that category? And by the way, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, like, I don't think those same people are saying, oh, some receiver out of Illinois State isn't now getting an opportunity because that's Jimmy Smith's kid, you know?
Yeah.
Which they were saying about Tebow. And by the way, they're probably right about Tebow because he probably wasn't getting offers from anybody else. I didn't have as big of an issue with it at the time. I mean, it's kind of the way life works sometimes, people. And I don't have a problem with this one at all. It's just kind of an interesting connection where, like, I actually think it's a cool thing he's getting an opportunity because Jimmy Smith, part of the organization, maybe. Or if Jimmy Smith had never played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, would they be signing Trey Smith anyway?
Yeah, I think
no idea.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's interesting to think about, but as far as I understand it, like, Jimmy Smith hasn't been out here pounding the table like, sign my son, right? So I think it has to do with him being talented. And if you really think about it, Brent, I think it's more of building that pipeline from Wyoming to Jacksonville. This is like the third or fourth dude we have now from Wyoming. So I think it's more of just keeping that pipeline fresh and just keep building it.
Yeah, here's the one issue when you do this, right? And this can make it difficult, too, but all they want is an opportunity, and it doesn't matter the consequences of the opportunity. But if he doesn't make the team and he's not good enough to make the team, you also have to cut Jimmy Smith's kid.
Yeah, that is going to be tough.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's part of it. I mean, listen, guys in this business, I mean, people in this business, they do hire their friends. They do hire people that are closely connected, knowing also that they might have to fire them.
Yeah.
So that's just part of it.
I mean, at least it's a position where you need some depth at running back, right? And you drafted one, but if James Robinson's not fully healthy, then you only have two. So maybe there is an opportunity for him to make the team. And we'll see what happens, obviously, in training camp and everything. But I think at least being a running back, that's interesting because that's a position that you kind of need the depth at right now.
Yeah, and listen, I'll say this. I don't care about all the semantics of it all. I think it's great for Jimmy Smith's son, Trey, and he has to be talented enough to get this opportunity, and he is. Like, we've seen him. I've shown highlights of him out of there at Wyoming. I'm a sucker for the story, man. Like, I think it's cool. I think that's a pretty neat tie-in to see that. Heck, Tom Coughlin once had his son-in-law on his team.
His son-in-law?
Yeah. His daughter was married to the offensive lineman.
Oh.
Snee. Chris Snee.
Okay.
I think that's the story.
Did I get
that right? Yeah.
I don't know if you got it right, but, like, I didn't know if it was something I was supposed to know, so that's why I was treading lightly. Like, I didn't know if his son-in-law was, like, that dude, and it made more sense, but now that you're kind of telling me it, I
saw that happened in, like, New York.
Yeah, no,
and he was good.
Now.
Oh, By the way, he was good.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris Snee was good. Like, he played for the Giants for, like, I don't know, 8 years or something.
That is a good run.
Yeah, I think he's part of the Super Bowl teams. So it does happen. All right, we take a break. Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690. We're live at Eagle Landing Golf Club out here in Oak Leaf Plantation area. Be here until 6 at Action Sports Shacks OT. Coming up at 6 o'clock, and then we hand off to the Jumbo Shrimp. Be right back. Let's talk more football. Talk a little bit more about this schedule, what it could look like. Primetime games, does it matter to you? That's next on ESPN 690.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.